This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section and the lead section of the John Lothian newsletter for April 26, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. On Saturday, U.S. President Biden formally declared the massacre of Armenians in the early 20th century to be genocide. This was a presidential campaign promise for Biden, but more importantly, something that could have been done by U.S. leaders long ago. Many times my last name, Lothian, is mistaken for Armenian, as many Armenian names end in I-A-N. Lothian is a Scottish name, a place name that was derived from the name of a northern king, King Lot. I have received many Armenian newsletters over the years as a result of the misconfusion over the origins of my ancestry. One of my dearest friends is Armenian. My trip to Turkey for an IFM conference many years ago raised my awareness of the tremendous history of the region. The cab rides in Istanbul oozed such history lessons. The biography of Kemal Atatürk, Turkish field marshal, revolutionary statesman, author, and founding father of the Republic of Turkey, that I bought at the Istanbul airport and consumed on the plane ride home only encouraged my thirst for more Turkish history. April 24th was Armenian Genocide Remembrance Day, which prompted Biden's action. Ignoring the history of genocide only leads to its hurt being repeated over and over again. In fact, well-known authors and journalists from Turkey have been prosecuted just for acknowledging the mass killings of Armenians in 1915. Washington Post staff writer Gillian Brockel has an article on the origins of the word genocide titled "The Armenian Genocide. This is what happened in 1915. I can only hope that this move by Biden leads to engagement and reconciliation, but as with many historical issues, it is a long game being played. A New York Times story on Saturday captured my attention and was a good read. The story is the woman who shattered the myth of the free market, Joan Robinson, upended the misogynistic good old boys network of economists and devised theories around competition and labor vital to the antitrust debates of today. Gary Jones, CEO of Perfect Channel, is now CEO of Nova4e after the firm rebranded. Business was up 40% in 2020 for the firm and is accelerating, the company said in a press release. Model Emily Ratajkowski's name is usually used in headlines as clickbait, something we would never stoop to. We are including her in JLN today because of a very serious story from the New York Times titled "Emily Ratajkowski is Selling an NFT at Christie's. The artist Richard Prince appropriated her image for his work. Now she's doubling back on it for one of her own." Before Bernie Madoff died, he granted exclusive access to journalist Jim Campbell. Campbell interviewed the disgraced Wall Street executive and his family for a book titled "Madoff Talks, Uncovering the Untold Story Behind the Most Notorious Ponzi Scheme in History." CBS has the story. Do you want to know the best places in the world to be as the variants outrace the vaccinations? Bloomberg has a list. The New York Times is reporting that the EU is set to let vaccinated U.S. tourists visit this summer. Yale University's free happiness class has enrolled just less than 500,000 people and was the second most popular class on Coursera of all time. The CBOE Options Institute is hosting a one-hour live webinar on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time that will explore how to trade weekly index options. Speakers include Megan Miller, a portfolio manager at Wells Fargo Asset Management, and Oleg Bondarenko, professor of finance at University of Illinois Chicago. For information on registration, tenor, theta, and the use of weekly options, you can find a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. This week on The Spread, OCC reduces clearing fees. Coinbase CEO sells $292 million worth of coin shares. This week on The Spread, major exchanges begin trading options on Coinbase stock. Eurex announces record volumes for ESG derivatives. Gary Gensler is confirmed as head of the SEC and more. You can view The Spread on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a press release from Nova4e. Perfect Channel rebrands as Nova4e. Rebrand reflects the fast-growing adoption of Nova4e's B2B digital marketplace technology. London-based Nova4e is accelerating the adoption of digital B2B marketplaces as businesses reevaluate their digitization strategies. Following 41% growth in 2020, the business expects continued rapid expansion this year and beyond. The new enhanced management team will focus on delivering product innovation and increased digital market functionality for its clients and will invest directly in new disruptive market opportunities alongside industry partners. Perfect Channel Limited has today announced a new name for the company and a rebrand to reflect their ambition and commitment to developing new digital markets. Following 41% revenue growth in 2020 and a strong pipeline of new business, the company's momentum is accelerating while the name change reflects its commercial vision. My comment: if there's one man who knows how to pivot, it is Nova4e CEO Gary Jones. Here's a story from OZY.com. Adina Friedman spills the stock exchange's secrets. Adina Friedman is an American businesswoman who wears the pants at home and work. She's also a black belt in Taekwondo that's never been knocked out. More importantly, she's the president and CEO of NASDAQ. Watch her tell Carlos about her fast-paced life and how she got to where she is. You can find excerpts below or listen to the full interview on the show's podcast feed. My comment: I want her to spill the magic beans. That would be way cooler. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Wall Street banks say time for loan market to ditch the fax. Three banks developing new platform to share data with lenders. Tool set to launch in early 2020. More banks can join. A corner of the debt capital markets known for still sending official notifications via email and even the occasional fax is poised for a modern update. Bank of America Corp, Citigroup, and JP Morgan Chase & Company are developing a new platform for the $4 trillion syndicated loan market that would let lenders access data across their portfolio all in one place. Currently, lenders receive a hodgepodge of updates on each individual loan, interest payments, notices, and requests for amendments, for example. It's a headache for investors who often have to manually update the data into their own internal systems. My comment: it is time to upgrade to brick phones. Here is another story from Bloomberg. Pack your bags. Business trips are coming back. Corporate travel is still in a slump, but that may be about to change. Business travel hasn't bounced back yet, but it will, and the recovery may be stronger than expected. This isn't a widely shared opinion at the moment. Corporate road warriors have largely stayed away from airports during the pandemic, even as cooped-up Americans have taken advantage of the vaccine rollout to plan getaways and visits with family. In a jam-packed week for airline earnings, American Airlines Group Inc. said daily net bookings had actually outpaced 2019 levels over the past week. But the bulk of that is from domestic leisure travelers. Business and long-haul international demand is only 20% of what it was before the pandemic. Southwest Airlines estimated business travel will be down at least 50% at the end of the year compared to pre-COVID levels. And Chief Executive Officer Gary Kelly said he wouldn't be surprised if the market didn't fully recover for another decade. My comment: Boca 2025, here I come. Here is another story from Bloomberg. Crypto holders say it's hurt their personal relationships. A greater portion of assets in crypto markets issues more likely. Big gains or losses of money can have an effect, analyst. Many downsides of cryptocurrencies are well known. There's volatility, potential for thefts or hacks, and the chance of regulatory changes. Turns out it may not help your social life either. my comment. Instant wealth has always been an issue in relationships. So has being part of a cult. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. The top story on Friday was from Bloomberg. Hedge fund collapse in Sweden puts spotlight back on quants. The second most read story was a profile in the Wall Street Journal. Robinhood, three friends, and the fortune that got away. And the third most read story was from the Financial Times. JP Morgan apologizes for backing breakaway football Super League. Here are the top four stories from the lead sections of today's JLN. This one is from the Wall Street Journal. India's COVID surge is most ferocious yet, spreading like wildfire. New coronavirus wave hit nation over 1.3 billion after loosening restrictions and public complacency set in, with variants possibly at play. India is in the grip of a COVID-19 surge that has hit with more speed and ferocity than any seen before in more than a year-long coronavirus pandemic. It has overwhelmed New Delhi's chronically underfunded government hospitals and turned securing a private hospital bed into a nearly impossible feat. Second story is from the Wall Street Journal. TD Ameritrade wins legal battle over handling of investors' orders. Some investors oppose brokerage's practice of routing stock orders to high-speed trading firms. A federal appeals court sided with TD Ameritrade in a legal battle over its practice of routing investors' stock orders to high-speed trading firms in exchange for payments. The U.S. Courts of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit on Friday rejected a proposed class action lawsuit from investors who accused the brokerage of securities fraud. The suit claimed TD Ameritrade had failed to abide by its duty to seek the best execution for customer stock trades. The next story is also from the Wall Street Journal. Women step up trading in Bitcoin. Other cryptocurrencies, Robinhood say a quarter of trading in digital currencies is done by women, though that level lags behind their trading in stocks and ETFs. More women are investing in cryptocurrency as Coinbase Global Inc.'s initial public offering and Bitcoin's recent record-setting high helped bring the asset class further into the mainstream. Several cryptocurrency exchanges and online brokerage firms are reporting an increase in the number of women trading crypto in the past year. Some are expecting that the number to rise further, thanks in part to investors' greater awareness of the asset class, their desire to buy into hot markets, and the promise of boosting their savings. At the same time, some people who are using volatile markets to save expose themselves to having the risk of having months of gains wiped out when the wind shifts. The next story is from Yahoo Finance. Are cryptocurrencies ready to go mainstream? Coinbase, a platform used for buying and selling cryptocurrencies, became the first cryptocurrency to go public on the U.S. stock market last week. The listing marks a milestone for the cryptocurrency industry as it takes on an increasingly significant role in the mainstream economy. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.